Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
/11:18 in the world's greatest city. Phil Minicky for Dave Plyer on 720 WGN. We've got a great show for you tonight. As you may know, I've got a rock and roll background, so we're going to hear from some Grammy winners tonight, Hall of Famers, people who make us happy as well. I think we can all use that. As we embark on this holiday weekend, grab a beverage, maybe some snacks, get comfortable, and get ready to enjoy some good conversations with some friends of ours. If they're not friends right now, I think they will be when we're done tonight. Which leads me to our first guest. He has written so many songs that we all sing along with. Many of those have topped the charts. He has sold millions and millions of records. He's the Grammy Award winner, founder of the Ides of March and Survivor. He is Chicago's rock star, Jim Peterik. Jim, great to talk to you again on WGN. How you doing?
Hey, Phil, I'm doing great. You know, as great as you can do in this day and age, you make the best of it, right?
It's a different world that we're in, and like you said, we'll make the best of it, right?
Yeah, if we hang together. Now, there's a lot of silver linings, you know, and I've actually been as busy or busier than ever because people need music.
Yeah, we really do. So please keep giving it to us, okay?
I promise. I was just, I'm writing with Robert Lamb right now of Chicago fame, and he's just a monster writer, songwriter, singer, Saturday in the Park, 25 or 65. I mean, the guy is an absolute genius, and it's been a real honor writing with him. So that keeps me off the street, you know, so that's a lot of fun. And really, that's kind of how I'm counteracting all this, is staying very busy. And you realize that a lot of the musicians and songwriters are not busy either.
Right.
And are you going to twiddle your thumbs, or are you going to create? And a lot of people are creating. You know, Dennis DeYoung is coming out with his second album. And it's like the second part of an album he put out about 3 months ago called 26 East, which was the address of his original dwelling when he was growing up on the south side of Chicago. And now, I had like 5 collaborations on that record, including the single With All Due Respect, which is hilarious. It goes, With All Due Respect, but you are an a-hole. You know, I can't say the word, but it's just a total indictment on the media and the press that exaggerates everything for effect, just for ratings. And
it's a killer track. And you know, I got to be honest with you, the best part of it is that guitar riff of yours. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, you say all the nicest things.
Oh,
thank you.
No, I speak the truth. That just kicks ass.
I have to say, though, Dennis recognized it. I was just fiddling around, you know, and he goes, what's that? I go, I don't know, just screwing around. No. That's the next smoke on the water, dude.
Now, he said that you wanted to change it, and you were messing around with it. And he said, dude, what are you doing? No, go back to the original. That's what we want.
He had to actually tutor me on how to play it the way I did the first time when I thought I was just goofing around. And sometimes, you know, those accidental things are the magic, and he recognized it.
Absolutely. And you guys captured it there, no question about it. Now, on Volume 2, you have more collaborations with him, correct?
I do, yeah. Some really, really good stuff. And he's kind of hit a hot spot right now on his own. And he's just written 3 songs that I haven't heard yet. When we first started the first album 3 years ago, I had to pull him by the lapels and go, dude, it's time to make a record. And he would go, why bother? No one's going to buy it. I said, if you thought that way when you were, 21, you wouldn't have put on that first Styx album. You know, it's not about how many units you'll sell. It's about, I was born to do this.
Right. That's a great attitude. And you helped him along with that.
I did. I was his coach, and got the ball rolling with a song called Run for the Roses, which I wrote in Italy, walking through a graveyard. Small fact.
Wow.
There's something about graveyards that are very peaceful. No one bothers you, you know. And I just get this mood, you know, and Run for the Roses came out of that, and he loved it. And he, of course, rewrote all the lyrics except for the chorus, but all the music was intact from pretty much the way you hear it. I'm very proud of that song. And the new album has a bunch of really heartfelt songs that that we wrote together over the last 3 years.
3 years you've been writing this?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because I know the story was that you guys have talked about collaborating, you know, long ago. Yeah, you know, we're going to get together, we're going to do this, and it never happened. It never happened. And then it did.
Yeah. You know, I mean, our wives got together, we double dated, and we had a good time. But, you know, we got together to write about 15 years ago, and lightning did not strike, to be real honest with you. And we parted ways, and that was fun. You know, but did we really accomplish anything? The timing just wasn't right. And 15 years later, lightning struck, you know, and we started writing like banshees. It was really a different thing.
Is that how it works? And once you just start, you just keep going, and then you come up with different ideas? That's got to be the way it is, right?
It really is, Phil. It's one thing feeds the other. And once you get one under your belt, you go, hey, we're pretty good. You know, let's do it again. This is a lot of fun. And we just hit our stride. And I would bring an idea, and we'd chase that and write that. He would bring an idea. But I think the thing we didn't do the first time is we sat in a room and we tried to create music out of whole cloth. And that doesn't work with us. We each have to bring a little seed of an idea, and that's the way we work now. And then he can change it all around and vice versa. But I call it starter dough. You know, you got to start with something. And that works for us.
That's cool that you just kind of found that out, and you respect each other, and you know that there's talent there, and that's special, man.
It really is, you know. And I'm very blessed that all these years later, I mean, you know, Survivor used to tour with Styx, and we were kind of friendly rivals, and we were always trying to beat each other up the top 10 list, and they always won, except for Eye of the Tiger, when we won, finally.
Yeah, that was a little different story now, wasn't it?
That was a big record, you know. He still throws that in my face. Yeah, but you had Eye of the Tiger. Yeah, but you had, you know, Grand Illusion. Anyway, it's all good spirited stuff. Two Chicago guys.
That's the best thing. So, speaking of Chicago guys, so you're writing with Robert Lamb. How's that?
Oh, my God. What a talent. I mean, that's kind of an understatement. Saturday in the Park, you know, 25 or 6 to 4, on and on. He's a genius. You know, I was a little bit intimidated. The Ides of March opened for Chicago, and we talked afterwards, and you know how you throw around stuff. Oh, we got to get together and write, and you never do it. Well, this time we did. And we, in fact, after that show, we exchanged emails and CDs. He gave me the new Robert Lamb album, and I gave him the new Ides of March album. And we started writing Long Distance. This is about 3 years ago. And the first song was really pretty great. But now it's like lightning striking. And we're writing some great stuff. And we're not at the point of announcing a specific project. We're writing songs to write songs. And we'll see, you know, if it's going to be a Robert Lamb album, if it's going to be a Chicago album. We don't know exactly where it's headed, but we're just concentrating on great stuff.
I have to ask this question. What's with you and piano players? You're hanging out with piano players, right? Dennis DeYoung,
well, you know,
Robert Lamb?
Well, they value me because I'm a rocker and I'm a piano player. But in Survivor, I'm really a guitar player that was playing piano in Survivor. I always missed getting up there and jamming on my Les Paul. You know, I started out in that position at early Survivor with, you know, the first album. And then a little more with, you know, Premonition. But by the time Eye of the Tiger album hit, I was mainly a keyboard player. And I didn't begrudge that because, I mean, Frankie was a great guitarist, and we needed a keyboard. but it's not my favorite position on stage. I like to jam out. So both Robert and Dennis really value my guitar chops and the mentality of a guitar player. Just like you remember that riff, with all due respect, you can't do that on a keyboard. You can do it, but it sounds really clunky. You know, you got to have that Les Paul cranked up to 10. You know, that's the sexual heat of rock and roll.
Oh, it's so sexy. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
There's no question.
No doubt.
Very cool. In fact, you mentioned Robert. We're going to talk with Jimmy Pankow later in the show tonight. So we're going to have him
on
as well.
God. Oh, my God. Well, please say hello. He's one of my heroes. And what an icon. What an icon.
Another Chicago guy.
Another Chicago and Chicago. A double Chicago.
Look at that.
Just a genius. And I had the pleasure of interviewing Robert Lamb and Pankow together about 2 years ago when they did a soundstage with Joe Thomas. And they couldn't have been cooler and nicer. And, you know, we have a bond. I mean, musicians in Chicago and really worldwide, we have a bond. And we have shared experiences and shared nightmares and bad experiences on the road and great ones. And, you know, it's just we all get together, talk about the good and the bad old days.
And remake history, make history for the future, too. That's the cool part.
Well, that's what we try for. And like I told Dennis 3 years ago, you know, it's not, if you stop trying, you'll for sure never have another one as big as Lady. But you got to get in there and try. And same thing with Eye of the Tiger and some of the, if I'm intimidated by my success, I'll never do another thing. And I try to put myself in the mindset of being, well, when it was Eye of the Tiger, I was 30 years old. In that mindset of just doing it, you know, and not thinking about anything except writing a great song.
Jim, hold on 1 second. We got news from the Northwestern Newsroom next. Then more with Jim Peterick. Phil Manekian for Dave Plyer, 720 WGN. .36 Phil Manekian for Dave Plyer and 720 WGN. Talking to Jim Peterick about collaborations. Now, you've written songs for Sammy Hagar and 38 Special, among others. This, while you were in Survivor, what did the guys in the band think about that?
Oh, they didn't like that a lot.
Yeah.
No, and that was a point of contention. You know, I always felt like the universal songwriter, in that I'm a writer first and a band member second. And those guys, they didn't feel the same way. So, you know, when John Kalander called me, this is before Survivor had their first hit record, and said, Jimmy, would you please write with Sammy Hagar? Well, hell yeah, you know. And flew up to San Francisco, and we wrote a bunch of stuff, but Heavy Metal was a top 10 record. And you know, I got a lot of heat for that. And but I'm who I am, you know, and it's like trying not to do that is really against my nature, because every songwriter, everybody I work with brings something else to the party. It's not like Heavy Metal could have been a Survivor song. It's not like Hold On Loosely would have happened with Survivor. No, it was the chemistry between me and Don Barnes and Jeff Carlisi that created that. So, you know, I just had to grin and bear the criticism. And eventually, you know, we had our, you know, mega song called Eye of the Tiger, and pretty much all was forgiven. But it was pretty tense in the early 80s.
That kind of shut everybody up, didn't it, now?
It kind of did. We did it again.
But, you know, you mentioned those songs really couldn't be Survivor songs. I caught up in you. I can't see that being a Survivor song. It's 38 Special, and like you said, that chemistry, that's important.
Yeah, it's really the whole ball of wax. I mean, Jeff Carlisi's licks were, you know, so magical. You know, tick, 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 tick. Oh, my God, it's just so catchy. As soon as you hear it on the radio, you know what it is immediately. And It's just not Survivor. Survivor was Summer Nights, and Survivor was, you know, Caught in the Game, and Eye of the Tiger, and just a whole different thing.
Right, right, exactly. You also got together with Cheap Trick for a little bit, 94. Yeah. How did that come about?
Wow, shoot. I think we played a gig with Cheap Trick, and hanging around at you know, having a beer at afterwards, I said, you know, we got to really write, you know, and I drove out to Rockford to see a studio, and we started at it. And I don't think you'd mind me telling you that he was drinking a 12-pack of Blatz before 3 o'clock in the afternoon every day.
Whoa.
This is before he stopped drinking. And it was a great experience, except that we wrote so many songs, but a lot of them we didn't finish. And I had a strange experience when back at my house, you know, Rick came over, and I have a studio in my house, and Robin Zander came over to sing a couple of the songs that we had written. And Robin's a sweetheart, but you would think a guy like the front man of Cheap Trick would be a super confident guy. He did not want me in the control room when he sang a lead vocal. He was too shy.
Really?
Yeah. And I said, Robin, what do you get? He said, trust me, come in a half hour and I'll have something to play for you. I couldn't believe it. But he's a wonderful guy. And we have two songs on that Woke Up With a Monster album that, you know, for me are two of the high points of the record. And it did very well.
It's got that Jim Peterick love song to it. You know?
Well, yeah, Never Run Out of Love was Ted Templeman's favorite song on the album. He was the producer and former member of Harper's Bazaar and producer of, you know, so many great groups, including the Doobie Brothers. And he loved that song.
It's a good one. It's a good one. So let me repeat this for the rest of the class once again. Rick was drinking how much Blatz? Blatz beer?
12-pack of Blatz. It had to be Blatz. What? And he would nail that stuff down. And he won't mind me telling tales out of school because he's been clean and sober now for, like, what, 30 years? Right. And just straight as an arrow and just a wonderful guy. He always was a great guy, but that was unusual.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. You've worked with Brian Wilson. What was that like?
Well, there's another surreal. Surreal for a couple of levels. One, he was my hero. When the Ides of March were, you know, first cutting our bones, I mean, it was the three Bs: Beatles, Beach Boys, and Backrack David. You know, and those were our heroes. And we would see the Beach Boys every chance we got. And in fact, we opened for the Beach Boys at the Erie Crown Theater. And in a few other places in the Midwest, University of Iowa. And I never thought I'd be writing with my hero, Brian Wilson. And I got a call from Joe Thomas, who I go way back. Larry Millis and I, good friends with Joe Thomas, who used to own River North Recorders in Chicago. Larry and he were partners, and the studio did very well. And we never lost touch. And he knew I was a huge Beach Boys fan. And one day, asked me if I'd come over to his house in St. Charles. He and Brian lived next door to one another back then. And I said, hold on, I'm in my pajamas. I'll be right over. And I put my clothes on and started writing with Brian Wilson and Joe Thomas and Larry Millis, too. And before you know it, we had three songs on the 1999 album Imagination. But the real culmination of it for me was in 2010, when the Beach Boys started reuniting again, and only Joe Thomas could have put the Beach Boys together after all that strife and you know, ill will and this and that. Well, suddenly the Beach Boys were back together with the full lineup, which is unreal, and started writing Chapter 2. And I was sitting eating Chinese food with Brian, Larry, and Joe Thomas, and we got the shrimp, and between gulps of shrimp, I said, you know, nothing sounds like rock and roll, like music, rock and roll coming from your dashboard and your radio in your car. And Brian says, yeah, that's why God made the radio. And I go, what did you just say? He says, I don't know. I said, well, I'll tell you what you said. That's why God made the radio. I wrote that down. I said, we're writing this song. And over the next couple of months, we wrote that song, and it came out. It went to number one on the MOR charts, and they were on tour with that as their main song. I saw them on Letterman, on all these great talk shows, doing my song, our song, and it was the biggest thrill of my life. It was right up there with opening for Led Zeppelin in 1970.
Wow, that's amazing. All right, we're just about out of time. I have to remind you of something that we experienced together. We were at a Styx show, okay? Ooh, we're standing next to each other in the first few rows, okay? I'm standing next to you. They're doing Come Sail Away. Everyone is standing, singing the song, and I turn to you, and I say, it's got to be so cool to have everyone sing your song.
Your song.
And we kind of looked around, and he goes, and you said, yeah, write one. And I'm like, not everyone is Jim Peterick. We just can't sit down and write a song. Oh,
so did I say that?
You did. And then I saw you a few years later, and I reminded you of it. And you go, wow, was I a jerk? I said, no. You just take it for granted that you could just sit down and write a song. But you write so many good songs, and keep doing it, okay?
That's really, really nice. I still say you could write a song, Phil. You know, I think you just have to find the right co-writer, Jim Peterick.
There you go. All right. I'm going to be like the others, Dennis and Robert Lamb and Rick Nielsen. Okay, we're going to write together, okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So we'll
tell
make
you,
that
why
happen.
Not? Why not? Let's make some great music and a little bit of money.
Yes. That would be good too, right?
That would be phenomenal. Right. Thanks for having me on. You're awesome, and Chicago is my home, and it always will be.
And we're glad for that too. Thank you, Jim. Keep doing what you do. Hopefully, we'll all be able to see you out sooner than later, right?
Well, right. I mean, my world stage show is still in the books for January. Look it up on jimpeterick.com. Looks like we have the Christmas show at the Arcata in December. Looks that up. Dates are not my friend, but they're on the books. And fingers crossed, we got some great shows coming up.
That's fantastic. You mentioned the Arcata. We're going to talk with Mr. Onesti in just a little bit.
The great Rono.
Yes.
We love him. Yep. Say hello from me and the Ides of March. He's the best.
I will do that, Jim. Thank you much for joining us. Always a pleasure to talk to you. Jim Peterick, everybody.
Thanks, Phil.
We will talk with the aforementioned Ron Onesti. He's going to tell us all about the Arcata Theater next in St. Charles. Filmmaking for Dave Plyer, 720 WGN.